Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hiya, Doug Mellard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
Today's guest has been a friend of yours longer than a friend of mine.
Whoa.
But as you already know, I was there when he met the mother of his child.
Whoa, matchmaker.
Yeah. His kid wouldn't exist if I had booked us at a different hotel.
Congrats, buddy.
Yeah, so which one of us is a better friend? the longer friend? Or... anyway, his name is David Huntsberger, and he's a comedian and a podcaster and great guy. So let's go to work.
There it is.
Hello. Hello, David Huntsberger.
Hi, Doug and Doug. That theme song is so thrashy for you guys. You're two mellow dudes. That song, it pumps you right up.
Yeah, that's what the hope is. The hope that the energy of that song will make up for how lackadaisical the next 45 to 55 minutes is going to be.
I stabbed a pin right into my thigh just out of exuberance.
A fun thing that's been happening here at Wide World of Doug's is that over the past couple of weeks, sometimes when our producer Ryan plays the theme song, I hear it and sometimes I don't. And today was a don't. So today I just waited patiently instead of going, how come it's not playing? And just waited till it felt like it was about enough time. And then you guys started talking. Fortunately, I'm glad the two of you didn't wait for me to start talking. And so, yeah, I don't know. There's glitches like that are so weird. Like, why did everybody else hear the song and I didn't? And we can all hear each other now. It doesn't make any sense.
It does not. What I took away from that, though, is how impressed I am by your growth that you didn't say what's happening. You just played it cool, guessed the amount of time, and really nailed it.
But also thinking the whole time, what if right now everyone's just sitting here silently and the song's not playing?
We did some Professor Blastoff reunion shows on Zoom early in the pandemic, and we had this thing through what's the one where you're like a backstage pass? Anyway, it's this app where you're kind of like in a green room. You can talk with all the performers, and then you're like just like a show. You go, well, here we go, and you click a button and you're live to like this whole audience. And same thing, we had to play a theme song, and everyone had like a different cue, and I was supposed to hit something. And right as we started, I leaned over to get a drink or something and bumped my table, and this big light fell off of it and shattered. I was like scrambling to figure that out. And then once I put my headphones back on, I couldn't hear anything or see anything. So I was just guessing.
And it was covered in glass.
I was just
profusely
not illuminated, bleeding everywhere, glass all in my head. It was terrible. And then, so I really am impressed, Doug, that you handled it so calmly. Whereas I was, it was a disaster.
Oh, you should see my home. There's broken shit everywhere. It was a wild 17 seconds or however long that song is.
Just breaking everything in sight.
Question about Professor Blastoff. I always enjoyed that name and the podcast. I got to be a guest on it, and it was super fun. But did you ever take it far enough to give Professor Blastoff, I assume Blastoff would be a last name. Has the professor ever been given a first name? I've got one I'd like to suggest if he or she has not.
He had two initials, R.L. Blastoff, which we knew. We were like, oh, we know. And people would guess at what they were sometimes, and we would never tell them, even though we knew what they were. But if you have guesses there, I mean, who cares at this point? And not who cares about your guesses, but who cares if we let out some sort of secret or something? What better place to do it than Double Dougs in the Wide World of Dougs?
There is no better place, at least right now. all right. I was just hoping that you never gave him, because it'd have to be a him in this case, because I just wanted to suggest, because I think it also sounds great, Professor Douglas Blastoff.
Ooh, yeah, it is way better than RL, Douglas Blastoff. And then we lost the rights to that name. And so when we we had to call the shows when we redid them other things, and we couldn't really reference Professor Blastoff. And so called it like Douglas Blastoff, you know, Mr. Douglas Blastoff or something, could have been right back in the swing.
Is that enough of a change? I don't know. If you're like...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know how litigious I am. I imagine I'd have my documents in order to defend that. But yeah, maybe it's not far enough away from the original.
That's wild.
Yeah, we should say we were joking about you being litigious earlier. Now it just sounds like you're a nut that says that you just announced that you're litigious.
I think it's fun to just threaten to sue people at the drop of a hat.
Have you ever sued somebody?
No, the closest I got was I did a U-turn that was questionable. And if we're being honest, completely illegal. But by the officer's vantage point, I could defend what I was doing. And so I took all these photos and I pressed it to the furthest ends of going to court. I wore like a suit, and it's just people in there and like with a bundle of paperwork, and they're in like flip-flops and tank tops. And like, yes, Your Honor. Oh, no, I don't think I have that form. And then there was me all dressed up, and I went dead last. No one was in there. Oh, no, there was one woman behind me. And we chatted on the escalator down of how we had both lost, but I kind of panicked. I thought it'd be my one moment to be like, excuse me, I believe. And the officer was really nice, and it was clear he and the judge see each other every week. So they're pals, and I'm there trying to be like, but is it not true that from, so I kind of lost my Steve midway through, but I really wanted to experience that just once. I like it on TV shows and stuff where.
Was there like an old rusty fan blowing your way when you're drinking like lemonade and fanning
yourself? The officer was so nice. He had to do disclosure. He had to show me what he had, which was nothing. He's like, I didn't even write it down. It's been months ago. I have no notes. I was like, oh man, I took all these photos. I drew a diagram. I had even gone in a couple of days before to watch some proceedings. And there was the sweetest older woman who was the judge that day. She was so nice. And she was openly trying to help people. She'd go, so maybe you did hit the brakes? And the person she was talking to would go, no, I don't think I did. And you could tell that the judge was like, come on, I'm setting you up here. I was trying to give you some way to get out of this. And I was like, oh man, I am set. If I get this lady, I'm good. And then I got there, and it was like Newt Gingrich wearing this really strict brown Lucy from Peanuts wig. Tight bang, no messing around, just evil looking. And she hated me. And so it was really a letdown from the very beginning.
At least it wasn't a huge waste of time.
Well, it was, I mean, in my household, it was not met with great enthusiasm how much time I was spending on this.
You're scouting locations, basically.
And it was like 20 miles away. So I was like, well, today I'm driving up to that courthouse. Why? Just let it go. Just go to traffic court. Never. I really wanted to experience the court side, but I saw it and now I never want to deal with any litigation again.
Got a few.
Yeah.
If you'd gotten another ticket on your way there, that would have been familiar.
Yeah, that'd be messed up. But you know, might have had a stronger case on that one.
Yeah.
This was all in Austin, Texas.
No, this was here. This was in like Northridge.
All right. I was picturing a younger David Huntsberger in this story.
No, this was like 4 years ago.
Okay. So how long have you been in LA now?
Since 2008. So and, 13 years.
Yeah. And prior to that was how long in Austin?
I moved there in 2004. But the last two of those years, I wasn't there much. I was like on the road all the time, it felt like. So I still called it home, but I wasn't really anywhere very consistently. But I like to think that I lived in Austin for 4 years.
What drew you to, like, where did you come from to go to Austin?
I came from your home area. I came from San Diego. So I went to college and I was in Colorado and I was sick of the cold. And I knew I wanted to do comedy, but I didn't really want to go right to LA. And so I went to San Diego for a couple of years and I did the La Jolla Comedy Store a bunch and all these coffee shops and things. And then I just didn't feel like going to LA still. I just felt like I wanted to try to get better at stand-up as opposed to being like, you know, in a sitcom or something. So I went to Austin and met Dougie. We became pals.
Yeah. God, it felt like we were there longer together than 4 years. It's wild.
I remember the first couple of months felt like 5 years. I just was like, oh man, I've been here forever. I haven't really been getting much stage time. This was a total disaster of a decision.
You had all those diagrams drawn up that were useless.
Yeah, I had all these game plans. It was so weird that from the time I moved there until I think this is right, did a TV spot was maybe under a year. And in my head, it was like ages and ages. It went from being dead last on the open mics all the time and just trying to make like the two remaining drunk idiots at the Velveeta Room laugh. And then doing that contest, which I was morally opposed to. And that kind of changed things. There were people there that, you know, could help my career out. Right.
And that was like that was televised?
No, they brought in people from TV. It was so weird.
Oh, so that's how you got your first, what was your first TV thing?
Premium Blend. I was really trying hard to transition from having jobs to just doing comedy. And so I had been substitute teaching. And then I made up my mind, like, I'm not doing that. I'll just... whatever it takes to just do comedy. So I was doing those research studies where you like are a guinea pig and they give you either placebo or a drug and then check your blood every couple hours.
Yeah.
And I was doing drugs. And that's how I got addicted to all my drugs. And that's how I got this profuse hair growth all over my body. But I got a call in there. Hey, do you want to do Premium Blend? And I was just like looking around at this kind of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest environment. Like, yeah, I'll do that.
He actually had a night when he was gearing up to do his recording. He wanted to just feel like he was overly prepared. So he had a night where he did his set. He ran his time, but he had everyone in the audience throw stuff at him so he wouldn't be... he could get through any distractions.
No, I said just talk and make noise, and people took it upon themselves to throw ice and shit at me.
Oh, okay. I remember it differently.
I love it. You just told them to be a distraction, and then that's where it ended up. They just start throwing crap at you.
Yeah, they really got into it. They went... They were very committed to doing that. But it did help. I remember the whole... I mean, you guys have both done way more stuff on television than I have. And the feeling beforehand is just so incomprehensible. It doesn't feel like stand-up. It just feels like such a weird production. And I was, you know, you're standing like on all these giant cables, at least I was, and like getting shoved out by some guy, like 2-1, here you go, just shove you in the back, get out there. And so it was, I was really glad I had done that warm up thing of getting ice chucked at me.
Especially when the crowd started throwing ice at you.
I remember, what do you remember?
No, go ahead. Who was the host?
Yeah.
It was Damon Wayans. And I remember, and he and I had a weird thing later, where he obviously didn't remember me or recognize me at all, but like walking out there, I had wanted to say, I know.
Like, you're just another white guy.
And you're just one of, it'd be like any one of us remembering someone we brought up at an open mic, years ago.
I mean, you might, there's a chance,
right?
Like, that's the thing. But like with him, there's just no chance.
No. And people outside of, I don't know if you can call it show business or whatever, but would be like, what if he watches your set and likes you? And then this happens in their head. That's how things go. And you're like, well, that's insane. If you knew that how things work, that's not it. But then you're also like, I don't know, I guess it's not out of the realm of pot. We're in the same building. He could have been off to the side watching.
Sure. No, it's like, that's a huge part of every comedian's development is whether, I mean, there's certainly examples where somebody, gets a huge, boost by somebody just because they happen to see him somewhere. But even just the interactions with, I've been saying this the last couple of days because Norm Macdonald just passed, but he was somebody that said something nice. I admired him and he said something nice to me very early on in my stand-up that, he didn't take me and give me some sort of job or anything, but it really boosted my overall comedy morale hear that from somebody that I mean, he wasn't even very known at the time, but I knew him, he was more known than me and I knew who he was because comedians, always loved him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, but so then I did Last Comic Standing with Dougie and I got emailed by Nick Swardson, which, the backstory of him is that Adam Sandler had seen his half hour set and contacted him just kind of out of the blue. And he sort of, I guess, paid that forward and just reached out to me. And I thought it was a joke. I didn't really think it was the real person. And then I ended up, I was really pressing him like, this is bullshit. He's like, dude, it's me. He went from being like, I don't know if you know who I am, to me being like, I definitely do. And it's no way it's you. And we went back and forth on that. And I opened some shows for him. And he said, when he was really early on starting out in New York, Dave Chappelle, same deal, like wasn't real famous at the time, but comics knew who he was, pulled him aside and said, just so you know, you're really funny. Don't let anyone like talk you out of that. Stick with it. And then he did the same thing to me, which meant a lot. I was like, oh, this person that I really look up to, just that those little things make a huge difference. So that's really cool that Norm did that for you.
Yeah. And, like in the case of, Nick Swardson, he's had quite a, you got to give Adam Sandler a lot of credit for, how much he's used him in his films over the years.
Yeah.
Always making him do like really silly, embarrassing things so he can just, sit there and laugh. He keeps himself entertained, I think, by casting his buddies and then, making them do really silly things. So, wow, we're like, this is a great conversation. We're already like just all over the place and haven't even really gotten to the meat of what this show is, which is discussing names and how they affect our lives and our personalities. So let's give everybody a cliffhanger and before we go to this commercial and just say do you like or dislike having the name David? We will find out after this break. We'll be right back.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back, and I know it's driving everybody crazy. What a cliffhanger that was. That was such an exciting way to leave off. Does David Huntsberger like the name David?
This was like in Breaking Bad when the brother-in-law found out that he was Heisenberg, you know, and then they had to send her off. This is exactly what
I like picturing someone right now pulled up at home and they're running a little late and they're sitting in the driveway, kind of tapping their foot, like, come on, come on, come on, come on. I got to get in the house. And there's some significant other is leaning out the front door. Get in here. That things are crazy. Pots are boiling over. The kids are running around and they're just like giving them the one finger signal. Just give me a minute. And here we are dragging our feet. I never thought much of the name Dave. Not that my esteem or estimation of it. What I meant is like, I never had to really consider it growing up. People just called me what they wanted. And it felt like as I became more of an adult, suddenly everyone would go, is it Dave or David? And I had never had to think about that. And I'd be like, and especially doing stand-up, you pick one of the two. And I was like, well, Letterman goes by David Letterman and everyone seems to call him Dave. That's sort of like me. People that don't know me say David and all my friends tend to call me Dave. So I just went with that. But yeah, it's become kind of a nuisance. I just don't like getting past that.
It is kind of weird because it's like, I just think there's some names like for Anthony, Tony, you know, there's just stuff like when you hear the person's name, there's ones where you assume it's all green light to go ahead and use the more nicknamey name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like if someone says, hey, I'm Joseph, you don't ever feel like if you say back, nice to meet you, Joe, they're going to go, what the fuck are you calling me?
And when someone says, actually, it's Philip, what they're kind of saying is like, don't be my friend.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to choose an affectionate, you know, slang name for me. You go by what I tell you. And I would just feel like, oh, that's a great signal that I'm not friends with anyone like that.
That's why I like Doug is because like, you know, people, they just get to start at Doug. If I said, hello, I'm Douglas. Then like you're saying with Dave and David, like there's this weird, like, can they make that move? And then are they really going to call me Douglas all the time? I mean, I've never known anybody that's named Douglas that doesn't just go by Doug, you know, it's just like,
I think it would be
probably
ridiculous.
Never gotten asked, do you go by Douglas? I mean, that would just be so weird to say, hi, I'm Doug. Do you go by Douglas? No, unless, I told you Doug.
Unless your last name is Blastoff, then it's okay.
So it's, it is funny how it's come to the point where people want to use the correct name, but they're going way out of their way. The Dave is just like, it's funny though, but I don't think I've ever called you Dave.
Call me Huntsberger, right?
No, maybe. I mean, maybe like in conversation, but like to your face, I think I just say David or, you know, your face is right there. So, you know, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the times we've addressed each other. It's usually like, hey, buddy. I don't even know.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, buddy is a big one too. Yeah.
You probably said my name 5 times total, and I just never caught like what you were saying, I would guess.
Exactly. I go between Dave, David, and I guess Burger or Huntsberger. I guess I go a lot of ways.
Yeah. Sometimes people will come over, you know, weeks after the fact and say, I've made a decision. You feel like more of a Dave to me, so I'm going to call you that. I don't care. But, and then it seems like often too, like women prefer David and fellas prefer Dave. I mean, there's a whole thing. I never thought about this my whole childhood. It never came up. And then suddenly when I was maybe 20 to 25, it was rampant. It just exploded.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, you know, a lot of times when I'm, you know, when I have to present ID or, you know, a lot of times I have to use Douglas, you know, for like if I'm picking up tickets or something, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, when they ask, you know, I mean, when they see what your name is, they will just like, they'll hand me back the ID going, thanks, Doug. Like, they're just like, everybody just immediately knows to shorten that. Like, you know, like it's just an immediate thing that happens, which I don't know if that's good or bad for the self-esteem or what that has to do with. David, have you heard this term nominative determinism?
Whoa, I like it. I don't think I've ever heard of that.
Yeah, Andy Wood turned us on to it. And we've been getting high off it ever since. It's, you know, it just means that, like, you know, does your name decide factors in your, you know, how you're going to be, you know, as a person and what kind of profession and et cetera. So what do you think about Huntsberger? How does that, because that always to me has felt like an unusual name. I've never known another Huntsberger.
Yeah, it's weird. It's Swiss, but we went to Switzerland a few years ago and looked in the phone book, didn't see any. And that was concerning.
Should you have been looking for? wouldn't it be in Swedish? Like, wouldn't it be spelled differently?
Not really. It was
like with a V or something.
yeah. There'd be that sweet ass V in there, which I was psyched about. Huntsberger. But the. It was the original story we had heard, and there's this book that my family has had since, you know, the turn of the century. So before the war, I remember one time working with a comic who goes, "Oh, German?" And I go, "No, it's Swiss." He goes, "Oh yeah, just like all the Germans after the war." And I thought, "Oh man, what if that's the case?" But there had been this book in my family from well before the war, and the story was Bern, Switzerland, and it was Hun means people, Huns Bern. So that's how it started. It was like people of Bern. And then it just evolved over the years. People put a P in it or a T, they cranked all these letters in, and I ended up with this Huntsberger, which I like. When I first started doing stand-up, I went by my middle name, which my mother's father was an entertainer and his last name was Lee, and so it was kind of a way to carry that on. And I remember telling her and she was like very touched, and then years later I was like, I don't know, I just don't really feel like myself. And my dad was like, you know, Huntsberger, it's a long name, but once people get it, they do tend to remember it. And so I tried it out. I just switched it over. In that contest I was referencing, I used it there. And things did definitely change. People could remember it more. And I felt just more like myself. And then I told my mom, like, hey, I think I'm going to switch. And she was like, oh, I never knew why you went by Lee. She had just completely forgotten that touching conversation. So it didn't mean anything.
I just like that I learned that... Attila the Hun is actually means Attila the person.
Yeah.
Because the Huns were just a type of people. You said they're just a people.
Yeah.
The people were called Huns. So he was just Attila the person.
Yeah.
I thought a Hun automatically meant, oh, this is a horrible, horrible, you know, like the word Hun doesn't mean horrible. It means he's just from a bunch of people that were all Huns.
Yeah, even if it was that, the thought that it changed into what we now go, pass me that sugar, hon, is such a sweet effect. Attila the Hun. That's nice.
That did work out. Very nice. So how many Dougs, other than the two Dougs you're speaking with now, have you known or interacted with in your life in any kind of memorable way?
There was this guy in Austin who became a crazy, as so many of them do, ultra conservative, where he's like tweeting at The Rock, which is such a sad thing to do just in general, about like anti-trans stuff and things like that. And so that guy had no bearing on my life. But I will say, to me, he gives your name a negative, Double Dougs. He gives it a little bit of a negative tinge.
I sure know who this Doug is.
Yeah. And one of my best friends from college, his middle name was Douglas, or is Douglas. And so we would call him Dougie a lot. And so, and the best guy. So that was a good association with the name. And I think that stemmed from one of the Austin Powers. Remember, he's climbing up the ladder and he gets all emotional, like, oh, I'm Dougie. And I thought that was so sweet because Dougie is a very like there's something very sweet and touching, and it's endearing from the person saying it. You know, it's got to feel good to the person getting it, but it's like a teddy bear or something.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a bad, it's, I think when you're a kid, it can be annoying. But it's yeah. more endearing as an adult, I guess.
I'm a man. I'm not doggy. I'm dog.
Yeah. I was also very short, so I think it just made me feel shorter.
Yeah, it's a, you know, that's one people leap to kind of on their own, the Dougie, and it just depends on who's saying it, you know, to me, because I, most of the time it doesn't really bother me, and sometimes it's fun.
Yeah, I think it was going back to Nick Swardson again, who referred to you as Dougie B, and I thought that's a pretty good one. That flows pretty good.
Yeah, it's a little too like I'm like a rapper or something. But
Dougie Fresh became so many Dougs, like Jake the Snake or Dan the Man. Dougie Fresh just kind of slid in there as like, wait, that was it is a person. I think he's still alive.
Yeah. And we tried to get him on this show.
Oh man, the dream.
If I tried to get him on, I'm saying we just talk about how it'd be good to have him on. But we did have Dougie Doug was on the show, and he's definitely one of the top Dougs out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Doug is a name that's holding up very well. I bet most people, I don't even know if there is a serial killer with the name or like a notorious villain or criminal or bad, you know, evil, ultra wealthy person with nefarious goals or something. It's a very, pretty solid track record in my mind of Doug.
I don't know.
Williams, the quarterback?
It seems like a good serial killer name.
Like only the Douglas, like, though. Like the three like names.
Yes. Yeah, because it's got to be somebody that was, you know, called Douglas right by their mother.
Yeah.
And that drove them to become a serial killer.
Just 50 stabs in. Stop calling me Dougie.
No, he just, the thing is, he loves his mother. He kills other women that are perfectly innocent and didn't do shit.
Yeah, it's true. You didn't name me Doug. You mean nothing to me.
A lot
Let
of
me
the
ask
crazy.
You this.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Oh, I was just going to ask David, you know, that you, I talked about in the cold open, I talked about how Doug Mellard has known you longer than I have. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to ask you, David, if, and you can apply it to me as well, but I'd like to hear it about Doug Mellard. Does he, when you first met him, did he seem, was Doug like the, did he seem like a Doug to you?
Yeah, he fit it pretty well. And I'm thinking it's because, let me really think back. You know, my early years in life, 4-H, kind of more rural stuff, cowboy stuff. And there'd be, you know, like ranch people. Doug was a very like blue collar, hardworking name. And moving to, when I first moved to Texas, Dougie wore cowboy boots and jeans on stage. And he was, he looked like a little acrobat. He was very fit. And I remember thinking like, oh, that guy's probably like bucked some hay bales in his life or something like that. I remember like, that fits. I was way off, but he looked like he had.
So Cowboy Doug is what you're
Cowboy
saying?
Cowboy Doug, yeah, yeah. Like just a good salt of the earth. Like, oh man, that guy has definitely like nursed some piglets to health or something like that.
Oh, all right. Let me put my piglets down right now. Hold on.
When you, David, when you meet another David, let's take it from this angle. When you meet another David, do you sometimes feel like, oh, this person doesn't seem like a David at all to me?
I'm trying to think, you know, maybe like a Craigslist interaction or something, or like, oh, hey, Dave, actually it's David. I know that's happened and it is off-putting, but I don't know if you guys get this in the Doug world, but Davids get this a lot, which is, oh, what's your name? It's Dave. Oh, I'm also David. Good name. That always goes exactly Ooh. Like that. Good name. But I never initiate it for whatever that's worth. But I also am kind of like, is that just a David thing? Is that obnoxious? Does everyone with the same name do that?
I think it's a lot of same names, but Doug is not one of them. I've never participated in the, we're both named Doug. Good name.
You guys just burst right into tears.
I'm always just more like kind of flabbergasted. Yeah.
I'm flabbergasted because I don't meet that many to begin with. Like, I just did a show in Chicago at Zany's, and I said to the audience, is anybody here named Doug? And there was no Dougs. And then I said, does anybody know a Doug? And it was, you know, some people responded, but it wasn't everybody. Like, you think everybody would know at least one Doug, but there are people that don't know any Dougs.
What is going on there where, one, like we mentioned, you get the optional nickname, which sticks and becomes like the dominant name. And Douglas is like a second option. And the best thing is Dick is not an option. There are still Richards running around. Children named Richard probably were Dicks in that crowd, choosing with what we know now to be referred to as Dick and not Dougs. What's going on?
Yeah. No, I mean, the name Dick at either end cracks me up because it's like, why... Why do you want people to say that all the time? That's just so, but they're just used to it. And they're just, hey, I'm just Dick, you know, no, it's no big deal. But I that word makes my ears perk up every time. It's still like you hear it on streaming and on cable, but it's still, I still don't think they're throwing it around on anything, but like a show where they really warn you about the language, like NYPD Blue or something, you know, like, or FX is throwing it around probably because it's Dick is such a, it's a harmless swear word because people could just say it about a person who's named Dick.
Absolutely. I mean,
there's always a dick, you know, you could just be like, hey, did I just see a dick? Was that Richard?
Could Dick Van Dyke get a CBS show these days? I don't think so.
Well, especially because he's got a Van Dyke around his dick. That is the silliest. That is so silly. Got a what's meant for a, you know, what is a Van Dyke? Is that just the like a pointy triangle?
Oh yeah,
off of your chin, or is it like a?
I mean, is it kind of like a goatee? I think maybe the goatee is just the chin, and when it's the circle, it's a Van Dyke. Is that right?
I don't know.
I think it's something like that.
I know people that have known over the years, but I've never managed to make that information stick.
Same. Yeah.
Never.
That's a thing Daves and Dougs have in common.
Finally, we found something.
What is the origin? I'm sure you guys have already dug into this, but what's like the earliest Doug? Where does it come from? What does it tie to? You know, David in the Bible, I guess that stuck for a lot of people. I don't think that was the origin of mine, but like.
You don't remember the part of the Bible, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Dougie.
I think they said the Doug will inherit the earth at some point. But that's the thing. I do think Dougs, for whatever reason, tend to be meek, and that's why they don't even get their name's not even in the Bible anywhere. But still close. It's a name that's close to God. Same letters. Can't spell Doug without God.
Now you're talking. That's a nice one.
I gotta write that one down. you know, we talk about it every week on the show, so I don't want to bore people to death with it. You know, I think that Doug Mellard and I discussed the origins of Doug early on in this series, which is about a year ago, and I've immediately forgot, like, it's for some reason, it's not information that I care about, even though it is my name, like the origins and what it really means and all that. I don't care about. Plus also, Doug, aren't I correct? It's kind of like some dead ends. Like, it's not really a name that has like a really full blown story behind it.
I think there's a few different, it's like dark waters, but it also means this, and it's a few different things. And
yeah, that's where we just lose interest. It's
right.
Who cares?
The thing about it, nominative determinism, it's two soft syllables. So like David, you know, hard, soft. And then you have Douglas, both kind of soft. And another name that's kind of in that same thing. And I don't know if these tie together in some way. And this one's even less nicknamey than Doug is Malcolm. You name it someone Malcolm, that's them. There's really not a great nickname that spins out of it. And you can't do like Richard and be like, oh, Malcolm, let's call you Spike. There's really, or maybe you can. Maybe that's one of the nicknames for Malcolm. But
No, I mean, it's like there's that actor Cole Mamini, and it's like, is that short for Malcolm? And like, why do you want people have to say, having to say Cole is like so much effort just to say somebody's name.
Yeah, that's
like the word macabre. It's like, if you can avoid it, you do.
You definitely do. Yeah. Oh, Cole. That's gross to just think about. Cole
Mamini. Yeah. I hate it. Then his last name's Meany, like, because he's making you say Colm.
Malcolm Meany is a cool name. Colm Meany is.
Yeah, why did he drop the Mal? That's so weird that Mal's not there. And I have heard Mal on occasion, which might be, I assume, is short for Malcolm. But even that, Mal, just like, Mal, like, just sounds like you're, you know, a mewling cat or something. Mal. So you really nailed a good one there with Malcolm. Like, that's going to be their name, and it's also just, it's just going to give that kid like a level of classiness that they probably don't deserve.
I agree.
That's why Malcolm McDowell is one of our ballsiest. Literally, I've seen his balls. he's one of those actors that just was crazy, will do anything. And I think it's because, you know, Malcolm McDowell, who's fucking around with that name?
I think it's two things there, too. You know, some people as actors, they just are that Benedict Cumberbatch. His name kind of comes before you're even able to detach from it. And it
comes before you batch.
And I love to batch and then see if there's some cum, but like, he's just boom, right at you. And then you go, all right, I have to get that name out of my mind and really see if he's this character. And luckily, he's very good. Whereas Malcolm McDowell, he can really morph into anything. And then afterward, you're like, well, what was that guy's name? Because it's just subtle. It just exists as, is probably a very useful name as an actor.
Yeah. When I first started having to learn that Benedict Cumberbatch was a person and not like a children's show, at the same time coming up and doing different accents all the time, and another amazing actor, Michael Fassbender, happened around the same time. So I got them confused routinely. And so I was always like Benedict Fassbender and Michael Cumberbatch. And like, I just could not, now I'm really clear which one is which, but for a little bit there it was touch and go, but because those names are crazy. And Fassbender is just wild because there was a filmmaker, a director with that name. So that was also confusing.
Hmm. Two guys in the cinematic arts. Maybe this determinism is real.
I think to be an actor, it's got to be a leg up to be a name that already stands out.
Yeah.
You know, Doug Benson wasn't doing me any favors. Doug Millard is confusing everybody because they want to immediately make fucking stupid duck jokes.
Yeah. To go back, though, you asked me about Doug. I remember hearing your name the first time. I disagree. I thought it was a cool name. I thought it flows pretty well because it's three soft syllables in a row. Then it starts to work. If it's two in a row, it's kind of like, then that just becomes, there's no grabby syllable. But three, Doug Benson, and then it's really melodic. So I liked it.
I'm happy to hear that.
Just in case you needed, and I'm not suing you. Two good things from today.
See, yeah, but also it's too common of a name. I mean, I prefer Mellard and Huntsberger over Benson in the fact that like there's not so many other associations. You know, like I've often joked about how Doug makes people think of the cartoon Doug, and Benson makes them think of the black butler, then eventually governor.
Yeah.
In the show Benson.
Yeah.
And, so I used to joke that, so two of my names are already taken, and then it gets worse because my nickname is Dynasty. And and what was the other one? Then the other one was something like, and what other kind of name can you
Doug have? Doug Dallas? Oh, you could be Doug Dallas.
But yeah, but no, I said my middle name is Dynasty and my nickname is How I Met Your Mother. So it was just a dumb name joke, but that was always a thing, like, cause George Benson, Robbie Benson, I got to actually be Robbie Benson's stand in on a TV series. It was short lived, but, I was like hired to be a stand in. And when I told him my last name is Benson too. He just was like, looked at me like he had just heard that for the millionth time.
So he didn't do like us Davids do and go, good name.
No, he did not. He was the most shy actor I've ever seen work in person. I do not know how he ever gives a performance in anything. That's why he stopped being an actor a long time ago. He's the voice of the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, which makes no sense because I've never ever seen or heard him raise his voice or sound like he could sound like that at all. Like, it was even the thing at the time when the movie came out that people were like, that's not Robbie Benson doing that voice. And they had to, like, you know, go on like Entertainment Tonight or something and be like, yeah, it's really him. Here's footage of him doing it, you know, and then throw him in a booth with headphones on going,
it just sounds to me like people underestimated him and he really had some skills.
Yeah, I think they underestimated him because he was such a boring actor. Like, no offense, Robbie. I think he directs stuff now, so I should probably shut my yap or I'm going to not get I might miss out on an acting gig.
Well, who was the genius that saw the potential in this meek, quiet Robbie Benson and said, that guy's a beast? Because, you know, Catherine Bigelow saw, I think it was Bill and Ted, and was like, I'm going to turn that guy into an action star, and then did Speed with Keanu. And now we look at him like he's an action guy, but she was the first to say, like, I can do it. With Robbie Benson, it sounds like it was a way taller task.
Well, he was like a romantic lead was his thing. Like, he was a cute young man who started playing leading roles as like a teenager. Oh. And he had a series of films. Like, there's a series of Robbie Benson movies. Ode to Billy Joe was one where he or his girlfriend commits suicide off of a bridge. And there's a song that kind of popular. And and then One-on-One he was like at some school in Florida on a basketball scholarship. And the same plot line as Drumline, you know, just doesn't fit in with the team. Or Top Gun, just, you know, complete maverick on the court, and he has to have a mean coach who finally teaches him teamwork and discipline. So he was just in a series of movies like that. Oh, Ice Castles, which is of course one of my favorite movies of all time, where he's a hockey player, which I guess he really did know how to play hockey in real life, but he plays a hockey player whose girlfriend is an ice skater, and she has an accident and goes blind, and he works with her to train her so she can still compete in the Olympics, but they do not tell the Olympics that she's blind, and they almost pull it off.
Cool.
Almost. It's the stupidest movie. It's so goddamn stupid that, like, an entire, you know, it's like an Olympic trial or something that she, you know, she skates at, and they don't want to tell everybody that she's blind. So she really does learn where the walls are so she could do her routine. But then after her routine is over and the crowd's going nuts, they all start throwing roses and teddy bears onto the ice.
Just bouncing off her face.
No, they're
she's grasping.
Even if she could see
them.
David, they wouldn't throw shit at her face. But they throw it onto the ice, because they're happy for her. She did such a good job skating. And then she goes to leave the middle of the ice and trips over the fucking roses. And so then he has to go out onto the ice and pick her up. And the final moment of the movie is him saying to her, and this, again, this is how meek he is. This is a pretty accurate line reading I'm about to give. He says to her, we forgot about the flowers.
They've
been out of competition for so long that they completely forgot that every time she skates, people throw flowers onto the ice.
They needed to train like David Huntsberger for Premium Blend. Would have been okay.
Yeah, they really did. She should have been skating around marbles and jacks.
Yeah, it was weird because you think at least a couple enterprising young men would throw their underwear or something.
Yeah.
It was all teddy bears and roses.
What if they remade that in kind of like a Weekend at Bernie's with a lot of foibles? Would that pass now, or that probably wouldn't be acceptable?
I don't know. I guess we're going to have to ask ourselves that question some other time, because guess what? We've run out of time. We've run out of time for so much stuff. We've written 5 questions for you each, David, that were written specifically for you. And we didn't even get to them. And we also didn't get to any of our questions for the last show's guest, Jason Ritter. So we were going to ask you to read, to answer some of those. But it's just been so much fun. We've been having too good a time just reminiscing and hanging out. Do you have anything you want to plug before we go?
Well, it has been very fun, and I apologize. I was so long-winded to not get to those damn questions.
Yeah, I can't believe that you talk so much on a talk show. I don't know what you were doing.
I'd like to plug that Carl Nassib played in an NFL game, his first openly gay player, and not much of a big deal was made about it. And I love that. I think we're progressing. That ties back to my little run-in with Damon Wayans, but I can get into that another time.
Wait, what happened with Damon Wayans?
He was on this show, and he was his whole premise, his whole bit. And this is a whole other name thing. We're like, Wayans, determinism, you're in entertainment somehow. And maybe you have to worry about living up to it. Huntsberger, you Google it, it's mostly a bunch of boring ass science books. And then me, which makes me go like, maybe I'm in the wrong field here. Anyway, he's doing what his family business or trade is, which is being, doing comedy. And his premise is, oh, they can't have a gay player. This is during the Michael Sam era. Can't have a gay player because all the ads will have to be gay. And it'll have to be a man sitting on his couch and you hear like popcorn dinging in the other room. And then another man comes out and sits on his lap. This lady in the crowd is like, what? And the whole, but she's like the only one reacting to this and how absurd of a premise it is. Everyone else just kind of sits there. So then I was next and I just reiterated how absurd it was, especially like, getting that ladies back. He was walking out with his crew at that point, so I don't think he really cared or heard anything, but the rest of the crowd really made their voices heard at that point. It was really fun to see that he was just so out of touch and in a real bummer of a way. So congrats to Carl Nassib, playing football, being gay, no one cares, it's great. And the ads didn't fucking change Damon Wayans.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing is we've been around long enough to some of these shitty premises that people have had over the years. You can go, well, that didn't go the way you thought it was going to go when you were. Because that's the thing about comedy is it's like, the comedians, part of what you have to be on stage is confident, and you're presenting ideas like all the time. So some of these times to get to their punchline, the premises can be so insane, that's another thing that people are kind of pushing back on, which I personally like. If I say something on stage that's like, triggering somebody, I wouldn't mind hearing about it, because I'm trying not to say those kinds of things,
absolutely,
while still also being, don't have to have no edge or have no point to make. It doesn't have to just be cute silly stuff or family comedy just to get away from. Anyway, I could I do talk about this for forever, but Damon Wayans was on the show I was on last night, and I said stick around because Major Payne is going to be up in a little bit, and it was not, I wasn't being sarcastic. I mean, people laughed, but a lot of people cheered because I think he's great in that movie, Major.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. No, I was a fan. That's so disappointing. I mean, it's a bummer when people that you admire let you down that way.
Yeah. But that's the tightrope, that sometimes I feel like I could be better friends with some comics if I just never paid attention to their, you know, what they do on stage.
Right.
Because, yeah. Because there's some people I really like, and then I'll hear that they have a bit like that or something, or I'll hear them do it. I'll just be like, oh, I mean, I like that person, but I'm not close enough to them to have a conversation about it. You know, yeah. I end up staying close to the people that wouldn't say stuff that would make me go, oh, I, you know, hey, maybe you should rethink that bit, yeah. You know? Like, I don't want to police other people's material, you know, and fortunately don't have to, because you tend to gravitate mostly to the comics that, you know, you're on the same page with. But that's what doing showcase shows is like, you just don't know. Like I left before he went on, because like I'm more excited about the idea of being on the same show with him than I am about hearing his act.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like if I listen to his act, he's going to say something like, you know, masks are stupid or something. And I'm going to be like, oh, God, another one, you know.
Yeah.
or, you know, the comedians complaining about woke culture on stage is just like, what? You're complaining about people trying to be nicer to each other? Oof.
Yeah. You're an
angry person.
I'm so sick of people thinking slavery is a friggin' bad idea. They're all woke. Oh, we shouldn't have it. That was a comedian back in the 1800s.
Okay. You've done the research.
I've done all the research. Yeah, the cabaret scene there was wild.
What do you, did you have something that you wanted to promote, though?
Yeah, I have an album that comes out the 17th on Pandora. It'll be streaming there, and I believe Sirius. And then there's a visual element to it that'll be out on the 24th, as well as like the album can be on all the downloadable sites and other streaming sites. September 24th. It's called Big Nothingness. It took me forever. I mean, we shot it before the quarantine, and then it just took ages to edit it and get it all together. There's a bunch of animation. It's visually fun. So I think your listeners who potentially partake in mind altering substances might enjoy it. And
definitely.
Yeah. And there'll be a free version of the visual thing on YouTube as well. But if you want to watch it without ads, I think it'll for sure be on Vimeo and potentially even Amazon. But yeah, it's called Big Nothingness. And all the info for that is at davidhunsberger.com.
Well, thank you for being here, dude.
Yeah, bro.
Doug Mellard, what do you got to promote?
My album, as I've been talking about, my quarantine album called I'm Worried About Me. It's out everywhere. Give it a listen. And also, if you want to pick up, I've got those albums by the name of Fart Safari. Fart Safari 1, 2, and 3, the whole trilogy. People think it's fake, but it's very real. They're out there. And I will be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival with you next week. So
check me out. That's right. Doug Benson's going to be at Moon Tower with Doug Mellard. And
are you guys going to do My Two Dougs?
we're going to try to get together, you know, put together, there probably won't be an audience, but we're going to try to put together a Wide World of Dougs taping while we're both, you know, in the same city. Cause we've only done these remotely so far, cause we created it during Pando. So, but Doug Mellard is going to be a guest on Doug Loves Movies on Wednesday night, the first night of Moon Tower in Austin, Texas at Antone's downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic venue. Historic. Yeah. Shit's going to get historical.
That's awesome. I'm glad you guys are doing this, and thanks for having me. This is really fun. Man.
Oh, I'm glad you had a good time. And one other thing I wanted to say, Doug Loves Movies is also coming to Vegas, DC, San Diego, and more. Go to douglovesmovies.com. And we end every episode with what I would like the title of the show to be. And thanks again, Doug Miller, David Huntsberger, producer Ryan, as always. Professor Douglas Blastoff.
Got it.